Hello, good morning, everyone. So, with Octagon Full Challenge kicking off a week today, which is an 8-week total health challenge, I want to cover what the book club is and the two books, and then a bit of information from the first book, which I think is quite a fascinating book in the history of it, right? So, two books. First one is Psycho Cybernetics, which essentially is the first book, I think, written in the 1950s, 16s, kind of the first self-help book that penetrated deeply into a practical change, maybe. So, there's a lot of like quotes going about and all that, but this book really has a fascinating origin where the author is a plastic surgeon and realized that people would come to him, he would kind of fix them or whatever they thought would fix him, say their nose or scars. And afterwards, some people's lives would be completely changed. They would go from like a really quiet, shy person to a totally confident person overnight. And he's like, this is amazing. The power of my hand, essentially. But then what he realized was, actually, there's some people are coming in and I'm doing the best kind of facelift or whatever it is, or I've got rid of the scars or whatever, but they still haven't changed afterwards. So he realized actually it wasn't his hand that was the magic wand here, that it was their self-image that became the magic wand. So if their self-image didn't change after surgery, then nothing changed, no matter how much physical change happened. And I've covered this in many podcasts about weight loss. Unless you're working on your mindset and your self-image of yourself and how you see yourself, if you're not seeing yourself as being a healthy person, taking daily action on that, the byproduct of this is if you're getting your steps in, you're looking after your food intake, you're high protein, you're doing weightlifting a few times a week maybe, or some form of exercise, you're not catastrophizing, you understand mindfulness, you understand awareness of food, you understand emotional eating, you're curious, you're like a scientist. Like all of these things come together, and that is a healthy person, and that is you. If you don't think that, and you think, I'm just going to do this for a bit to lose weight, and then things will change. Well, that's never worked, and that's never worked at all. Because once you reach the goal, you're like, well, I'm no more confident. I haven't worked on myself. I don't understand anything more about nutrition because I've gone on a crash diet. I'm more confused than ever. Why am I not happy? Actually, I need to get abs now. And you keep moving the goalposts forever, right? And this is very common, right? And this book covers this in a different angle where it's a genuine physical change overnight. It's like kind of someone saying, I want to lose 100 pounds, and overnight 100 pounds are gone. And then the same situation will happen. Some people's lives will be changed, of course. Some people are like, oh, that's amazing, I'm done, I'm happy now, I'm confident. But then that will become the new norm and there'll be someone else, right? But then there'll be some people, even after the weight loss, they'll still see themselves in a bad light. And that's what he's getting to the point of in this book. And that's a when you need to think about that deeply with yourself as well. Like, am I restricted to my self image, or what I think my self is? Now, he does talk in the book as if the self image is a new discovery in the 1900s. It's not. The Buddhists and stuff, you go back thousands of years, they talk about the self. But they talk about the self as this kind of entity that we create inside ourselves, and the self has an image, and the image is made up of essentially all your experiences and memory. There are some core beliefs, and this is known in CBT. There's core beliefs that we subconsciously live from, that we think are facts. We think a lot of these things are facts, they're not facts at all. And unless we understand that, true change can happen. Now, James Clear mentions this in Atomic Habits, right? He says true change is an identity change. Right, he's just saying the same thing in a different way. This identity, our identity is our self-image, right? And our self-image is put together mainly by what other people say about us, right? That's the crazy thing. We don't maybe realize it right now, but it kind of is that. A lot of the chunk of our self-image is put on us by other people. Oh, you're stupid. Oh, you're silly. And Dean Leake mentions this when he does talks, right? He thought of himself as stupid in school because someone said it to him once, and he lived with that for years. Right, and he worked on the team that did the book, The Chimp Paradox. It talks about this, so a memory bank where the computer stores these things away, these belief systems away. This has all been touched upon a lot in different many ways now. And this book is the original kind of modern interpretation of it, right? So let me share some quotes with you now about this book. We're going to cover the book in the first 4 weeks. So what happens is every Thursday we're going to meet live on Zoom. There'll be replays, obviously, and we're going to chat about what we've read so far. I'm also going to do a little slideshow for the first 10 minutes with key quotes and discussion points. So even if you don't have time to read the book, you can still join the book club, okay? So he says in the book, your key to a better life, okay? The most important psychological discovery of this century is a discovery of the self-image. Whether we realize it or not, each of us carries about with us a mental blueprint or picture of ourselves. It may be vague and ill-defined to our conscious gaze. In fact, it may not be consciously recognizable at all, but it is there, completely down to the last detail. This self-image is our own conception of the sort of person I am. It has been built up from our own beliefs about ourselves, but most of these beliefs about ourselves have unconsciously been formed from our past experiences, our success and failures, our humiliations, our triumphs, and the way other people have reacted to us, especially in early childhood. Okay? From all of these mental constructs is self, or the picture of the self. Once an idea or belief about ourselves goes into this picture, it becomes true. As far as we personally are concerned, we do not question its validity, but proceed to act upon it as if it were true. The self-image can be changed. Numerous case histories have shown that one is never too young or too old to change his self-image and thereby start to live a new life. The trouble with these students was that they weren't dumb or lacking in basic aptitudes. The trouble was the inadequate self-image. I don't have a mathematical mind. I'm just naturally a poor speller. They identified with their mistakes and failures instead of saying, I failed that test. Factual and descriptive. Again, this is objective, covered in Tiny Habits as well. You must be objective in your data. You cannot say you are that. They concluded, I am a failure, instead of saying, I flunked that subject. They say, I am a flunk out. For those who are interested in learning more of Lecky's work, and he talks about that. Okay, that's an interesting one, okay, because a lot of you will put weight on over a weekend. And no matter how many times I say it, a lot of you still believe it's fat gain, even when your calories and protein have been around your target. So if you're on a fat loss target and you hit that target, you're in a deficit, right? So if you're in a deficit and you've hit your calories, so you're in a deficit, you've hit the protein, you've got your steps in, and your weight's gone up, a lot of you still believe that's fat gain. You identify with the fact that you've gained fat and that there's something wrong with you. Then you go down the rabbit hole, there must be something hormonally wrong with me, this and that. Your weight will go up and down every single day, no matter how good the day before was. Some days you have a day of eating crap, and you wake up the next day and you actually weigh less. And some days you have bang on macros, and you wake up the next day and your weight's gone up. It's just part of it. Your weight fluctuates at least within the zone of 5 pounds. Between 0 to 5 pounds, your weight will fluctuate, but over time it will trend down, right? Now, a lot of you will say, again, look, if you look at the spelling, like, I'm just an utterly poor speller, there's something wrong with me. You instead of just saying my weight has gone up, right? Objective, fine, that's no problem. You say I've gained fat, there's something wrong, and you go down this catastrophizing route, right? And it happens all the time. And you have to catch yourself doing this, right? Because if you were to tell your best friend or you're trying to teach someone about these things, you would say the opposite. You say, look at the facts. Your weight has gone up, fact. Your weight is meant to go up and down, fact. Your body is 60 to 70% water, fact. Your water weight will fluctuate every day, fact. Fat gain, you cannot accumulate more fat mass if you're in an energy deficit, fact. Right? You can't gain fat. You can't store excess energy away when you haven't provided the body with excess energy. You can't fill the reserve tank up of fuel when you don't put any fuel in. Just where's it coming from? Where's the reserve? Where is the energy coming from? It's not being made up from thin air. Water doesn't contain energy, but it is weighted. It's got weight to it, and that is why your weight changes. But weight isn't the main thing. It's fat mass. So you're gonna lose fat mass. Weight is not guaranteed, but if you're in a deficit, fat mass is guaranteed to be lost, as well as muscle mass if you're not careful, if you're not eating a high protein diet, right? So, I see this happen all the time. That, I'm an anxious person, for example. I'm anxious. I'm always an anxious person, or I felt anxiety in that moment. You can't base your entire way of living off these moments. Like, obviously, before a competition, I feel anxiety, right? I'm not anxious all the time, but it's normal to feel anxiety and nerves. If we didn't have anxiety, by the way, we would be dead. Okay, anxiety is this byproduct of being vigilant as humans have evolved. Like, it's a very good thing to be on alert. It's not a bad thing, but we can use our frontal cortex and executive function to say if it's worth keeping the anxiety on or not. You know, when you get anxious, you see something move in the dark, and your body's, oh, what is it? And then you realize it's like, a balloon, and then you settle down, right? And then it goes away. You don't keep the anxiety on after you realize it's a balloon and not like a massive rat, right? And you've all got examples of this. You shake something and you realize it's nothing, okay? Well, you're gonna get those anxious stuff sometimes. Maybe when you see your weight go up, or when you look yourself in the mirror sometimes, and you feel it. Oh, I'm not looking like, but I'm bloated. And then you need the reality to check in on that. Well, it's not fat gain, so calm down. Like, it's a balloon, you know. And you look in the mirror and you're like, oh, I'm bloated because yeah, I've had food and it's bloating. It's part of the process. Sometimes, okay, fine, it's not fat, and you should be calming down. But because you think these things are true, they build up, catastrophize, and they actually become real. Oh, well. Okay, so let me just say about the way he talks about the plastic surgery does, and then I just want you to think of your self-image today and what you think it is, and write it down. What about all the others who acquired new faces but went right on wearing the same old personality? Or how explain the reaction of those people who insist that the surgery has made no difference whatsoever in their appearance? Every plastic surgeon has had this experience and has probably been baffled by it as I was. No matter how drastic the change in appearance may be, there are certain patients who will insist that I look just the same as before, you didn't do a thing. Friends, even family, may scarcely recognize them. May become enthusiastic over their newly acquired beauty, yet their patient herself insists that she can see only slight or no improvement, or in fact, deny that any change has been made. Comparison of before and after photographs does little good, except possibly to arouse hostility. By some strange mental alchemy, the patient will rationalize, of course, I can see that the hump is no longer in my nose, but my nose still looks the same. Or the scar may not show anymore, but it's still there. Right? Nor can such a theory explain the people who visit the office of a plastic surgeon and demand a facelift to cure a purely imaginary ugliness. There are 35 to 45-year-old women who are convinced they look old, even though their appearance is perfectly normal and, in many cases, unusually attractive. Such imaginary ugliness is not all uncommon. A recent survey of college co-eds showed that 90% were dissatisfied in some way with their appearance. If the words normal or average mean anything at all, it is obvious that 90% of our population cannot be abnormal or different or defective. Yet similar surveys have shown that approximately the same percentage of our general population find some reason to be ashamed of their body image. Right. Okay, so what's going on here? You'll find out in book club, and we're going to get into this in depth. There's going to be some deep chats about this stuff, guys. It's important things. I mean, we can do any physical changes we want. If this is the root isn't looked at, the root isn't changed. If you're not changing at the root, you're not changing at all. Different leaves coming on the branches, okay, great, but it's still the same root, same tree. Yeah, so have a think about this. I think fascinating topic. I love this stuff because it, when I read this stuff and I read the Buddhism and I read Krishnamurti, the philosophy of Krishnamurti, and I read Stoicism and I read, various texts and stuff, and this striking sentences, they just hit a truth chord within me, and I look at them and I go, wow, that's so true. You know, it's just bang on. And I know it strikes me instantly how important these matters are, you know. He talks in the book as well about this, like, positive thinking doesn't work because it's like you're not changing a self-image, you're like forcing some positivity on top of it, and the root is not changed. And he talks about this, and this is in the 50s. You know, imagine you would have seen today's world where you've got a lot of this fake positivity going around that actually goes against us. You know, this neutrality view is probably the best view. You know, I'm neither positive or I'm a pessimist, I am neutral and I understand reality. And being in the middle of the storm and being calm and collected, in reality, you don't get distorted by the emotions or this and that, right? And I think that's one of the key things. It's like, can I look at myself like a scientist, which is in the middle? Some scientists obviously have biases, and like we're humans, right? But you don't want that as a scientist. You want to be able to look at data, whether you like it or not, it's going to say the facts, and you have to, if it goes against your hypothesis, fine. Your hypothesis is there to be either proven or disproven, So you look at your numbers. I look at myself, And I look at myself, I look at my stats, I look at my data, I look at my day to day. Yeah, it tells a picture. And that's the picture is the numbers and the facts. And I go, okay. I've eaten too much energy in the last 7 days. Okay. My steps have been too low. Okay. My steps are low. These are just full stop at the end of these things. There's no need to add a story, an emotional turbulence to them. We will look at the facts and we put actions into place daily in our lives, which increases the byproduct of a healthier, happier, more resilient human being. That's what it's about. I get emails, I look at the turtle emails, I look at the emails we get, in other domains and Instagram and in the emails, but DMs. And a lot of people have got this problem where they're still not, I wouldn't use the word obsessed, but maybe it is obsessive. I don't know. Maybe still stuck on the numbers on the scale as opposed to the actions they're taking. Okay, so I'll finish with this. Would you rather be the person that can manipulate total body weight in a few days? So you can go on a Epsom salt bath, you can go on a sauna, you can drop 7 pounds, yeah? Drop 7 pounds overnight. But you haven't been walking, you haven't been hitting a good intake of calories, you haven't been hitting your protein, you haven't been doing any exercise, okay? None of that. You've simply dropped a lot of weight, and when you wake up the next day, you're 7 pounds down, okay? But it's water, right? Would you rather be that person, or would you rather be the person that actually wakes up, gets their steps in, good for the mental health, one of the best exercises you can do, good has a good intake of calories, energy, hits their protein target, lifts weights for their bone and muscle density, which is a key for long-term health, reads 5 or 10 pages of a book a day, okay, but hasn't lost weight overnight, has actually put a pound on. Which one of those do you want to be? And if you are the first person, you really need to read this book, because if all that matters for you is optimizing your weight, regardless of the fact if it's fat or whatever, and it's just weight you care about, you are stuck to some old core belief about weight being the most important thing in the world based on magazines and diet culture back in the day. You are stuck in the past. You are stuck in a false world, and it's causing you pain. It's going to cause you pain and suffering until you die. Sorry. If you are person B, you've succeeded, because that's where you want to be. You want to be the person that looks at actions, not end results. I take these actions because they are the actions of a healthy person. Over time, they will equal a healthy, resilient person that's going to have a long, happy life, which has got a high level of quality. Focus on doing those actions. Let go of the results. The results will take care of themselves, I promise you. So stop only looking at if my weight's come down, if my weight's come down, if my weight's come down. It will come down as long as you do those actions, and you do those actions with a smile on your face. Don't be so serious about these things. Take a smile on your face, go on a walk, and enjoy yourself. It's not all this serious like doom and gloom stuff. And you look back in 10 years, you go, look how miserable I was doing those daily actions that really I should have loved and enjoyed doing because I was happy as doing it. Now I've got an injury, I can't walk. Maybe one day I won't be able to walk, and you look back, you go, oh my God, look how miserable I was doing all those healthy activities day to day. I was only focused on my weight. How silly was I? That's what happens, guys. We don't want to fall into that place. Weight is a good metric over time. Day to day, no. Over time, yes. If you are walking around with too much body fat, yeah, it increases health risks. Of course, we know this. But at the same time, we go down slowly. We become healthy people through the actions we take daily. Remember that. And you can only do it one day at a time. So crack on, and I'll speak to you all tomorrow.